Hey everybody, I'm Taylor Onion and you're listening to The Bloom Pod, the show where we use the power of storytelling to share the insights of entrepreneurs, educators, and sports professionals who are chasing big dreams. We spend time asking guests about the experiences they've had that have helped them bloom into who they are today. This week's guest is a student athlete turned athletics administrator turned senior account executive for Altea Sports Partners. Please enjoy our conversation with Celine Mangan. Awesome. Celine, I am super excited to have you on today. We've known each other for, I was trying to think this morning, how many years, at least through mutual contacts, and then probably met in person for the first time, maybe 2019-ish, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. But super excited to have you on today. Obviously, we have several mutual contacts, as I just mentioned, one of whom is my mother, interestingly enough, from your experiences at Western. But I would love to have you kind of kick things off just by walking us through you know, a little bit about you up till now.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on, Taylor. And so funny, when I was thinking this morning on my run about this, it was your mom, I think, through we first met or got connected. But yeah, that's probably a good place to start. So I started at Western Illinois University, home of the Leathernecks. I worked in student athlete development and academics there. A woman named Lisa Mels Jennings took a risk on me and met some incredible people, one being your mom, some of my lifelong best friends. I was at Western for a couple years before transitioning to Women Leaders in College Sports. There, I ended up as the director of advancement and engagement through just some different career transitions, and it took a leap of faith due to a woman named Natalie Winklefuss in that role. After that, I ended up where I am now at Altea Sports Partners, and it's a funny journey how I ended up here. But at Altea, I serve as a senior account executive working with schools across the country in the new era of college athletics.
A new era, indeed. It's been, I don't even know what word I want to use. I feel like if there's a combination between interesting and tumultuous and unexpected, perhaps, and exciting, I would use exciting as well. But there's been a lot happening in the last year in college athletics. And so I also want to point out that your journey in college athletics didn't start just at Western. You were a student athlete prior to that, basketball, yeah. Is that right?
Well, athlete, yes, I was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice. So
yeah, that's actually how I ended up at Western. Okay. So I was on National SAC. I had done a few NCAA like leadership programs. So subtle plug for those are out there. And Lisa was grading the resumes and scoring applicants for those programs. And that's how, so she reached out to my college coach and that's how I ended up at Western Illinois.
Okay, I'll be darned. I did not know that. That fun fact. And of course, you worked with Tori Neiman as well, who we both know. I worked with Tori at Western for a short time. But you've made moves. So from academics into kind of membership services and now into being an account executive at Altea's. Was that always a part of the plan for you? Or was it like, you know, I'm kind of wherever the wind blows me next?
Absolutely not. No, it definitely was not. None of this was planned. I think I wish I could say like, yes, I've planned out my whole career. No, I think a lot of it is due to the people that I've been around. And so I mentioned Lisa, I mentioned Natalie in this role with Casey Schwab, our CEO. It's been believing in leaders and taking a leap of faith to align with what I wanted to do. And at the end of the day, I know I say I want to help the most amount of people in the greatest way possible. And each of those roles was serving and assisting and leading people to their full fulfillment in different ways. And that's what I hope to do.
In very different ways, right? From
very different ways.
As I just mentioned, from an academic standpoint, obviously you're helping academics and student athlete development. From a membership standpoint, helping folks to advance their careers. And now in the account executive side, kind of sort of more back on the education side. Is that fair to say? But just in a different capacity.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And when I was reflecting on this, I was like, I went from working with I worked with basketball and men's and football for the most part, men's basketball and football when I was at Western. So I was like, I went from working with 100 young men to then thousands of women in the industry to now it's a mix of all administrators and student athletes. But yeah, I think all of them at their core believe in leading people to their full potential and helping people grow to whatever their full potential is, right? Everyone has something different that they can do for this world and has a different gift to give. But each of those, well, yes, education's a part of and an aspect of them. It's almost finding out who they are and what they're meant to be in this different life that they live.
I'm curious to know, because I can see there are obvious connections across all three spaces. There are super obvious connections across from academics to what you're doing now from an education standpoint, as I mentioned. When it comes to membership and some of the stuff you were doing at Women Leaders, when we think about organizational membership, what are some of the key ways that you feel like you were fostering, you know, relationships in that space, relationships, retention, and how do you think it's helped you, you know, in the space you're in now?
Yeah, it's probably relevant to tell how I ended up at Altius because I think that leads to it. But I mean, it's like, it does make sense. So when I was at Women Leaders, I was in the Director of Advancement and Engagement. What that meant was that my role was to help women advance in their own careers, right, individually or as a whole, but also what is coming around the corner and how is the organization seeing what's around the corner and how are we helping women be equipped for that? This was mid-COVID, turning into mid-era of college athletics, and we were having calls with the divisional leaders, right? So ADs and commissioners, it's called Next at Women Leaders. And there was companies popping up all around the space, and Patty Phillips, CEO, and I were talking, and she's like, can you start looking into these companies and figure out which one might be beneficial or how do we help women navigate this new space? And that's how I found Altius. And I had a few calls with Casey about a partnership with Women Leaders, and I hung up the phone one day and I was like, well, I want to work for him one day and what they're doing over there. Mm-hmm. And I say all that to say is because while my role at Women Leaders was to help women advance in their career and help the organization as a whole of what does it look like, but also at Altius, how do we see around the corner? What are the challenges that are seen and how do we provide solutions for challenges before they even arise in innovative ways? And so that's where I think it aligns because every person's different, every campus is different, but a lot of the challenges are the same. The solutions are just different across the board.
Right. And obviously a heavy focus on name, image, and likeness and some of that fun new legislation that came through last year, coming up on a year at that. So tell me, and you touched on it just now, but tell me a little bit about kind of, you know, Altius, maybe the day-to-day, what does that look like? What's the organization? You know, if I'm, I was going to say Joe Schmo, but I don't know if that's the right name to use. If I'm Jane Doe at X University and I, you know, see Altius, what would be the reason that I would reach out to y'all to get something set up?
Yeah. So it started in name, image, likeness, right? All right. Although now, in case you knew this, and this was his forward thought, is that it impacts so many different areas in every single athletic department. So we're an advisory firm that works top down with internal and external stakeholders in the new era of college athletics. The term consulting is oftentimes what sometimes it's used, but we don't like that term. But we believe in finding and hearing what's happening on a campus, whether and in their state and in their institutional policy, belief, philosophy, and how does that apply to the new landscape? So day to day, I serve around a dozen schools as a senior account executive, serving as their point of contact, working with athletic directors all the way down to student athletes on their different needs. Whether an AD might be thinking about a press conference or what does our strategic vision and staffing look like for this in a year from now, where a student athlete might be saying, how can I evaluate a deal? And how do I know what's going to align with my brand? Where a coach might be saying, hey, I can't use this as a recruiting inducement, but I know it's a part of my livelihood right now. So how do I teach athletes about it? And how do I use it to my advantage without going over that line? So it's really, we don't believe in siloed communication because our thought is there's got to be one ship and everyone's got to be on the same ship, hearing the same message, rowing in the same direction in order for it to be efficient for everyone moving forward.
Okay, so two things on that. Yeah. Number one, why the feelings? Why don't you like consulting?
That's a good question. I think maybe it sounds a little pretentious, and we are not a pretentious organization. Like anyone who meets Casey and meets the leaders and meets the people involved in this our biggest thing, we want to be kind. And he founded it because he said to me, we want to teach people how to fish, not fish for them. And we want to help people. And so consulting almost has sometimes a bad connotation to it. And we don't feel like that's the best service of what we're trying to provide for people.
Okay.
That's a good question. I don't think anyone's ever asked us that.
Yeah.
We don't really like it.
I was curious because as you were describing it, I'm like, oh, okay. So kind of like a consulting service for athletic departments, for coach, you know, across the board. And then you're like, well, we don't really like consulting. So it was that was curious. Yeah. The other thing I'm curious about without asking you to reveal the secret sauce is to, what are the ways, you know, when you're talking about communication and talking about getting everybody to hear the same message and row in the same direction in a college athletic department, for people who don't know, it's a little bananas, right? Like there's, and especially with name, image, and likeness, there's like 17 different departments that are impacted by this. There's student athlete development, obviously from an education standpoint, you have compliance from a tracking standpoint, you have potentially marketing from the standpoint of helping athletes to, you know, get their images and kind of get their name and brand out there. The fundraising, obviously donors are coming into the space now and doing all this stuff. So what are some of the ways, or maybe even just communication methods that y'all focus on as far as getting everybody to be in that same boat, row in that same direction, be on the same page for simplicity's sake?
So easy, right?
Right.
No, I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head though. It's part of it is getting people to see that, one, that it does impact them. So often it was thought for a long time in college boards, oh, it's just a compliance problem, or it's just student athlete development. It's not. It impacts every single department on a campus. And so starting foundationally and level setting with them, like, hey, this, and not in a mean way, but like, this could impact you. Let's talk through it. Let's talk hypothetical situations. And then the second part of that is starting with foundational education. And that sounds very, it might sound a little elementary, but if not everyone's hearing the same message of what it is, what it isn't, and what it means here at X, Y, and Z university, then we can't even start to build the ship. So a lot of what we focus on at the beginning is, what is an athletic director's philosophy on this? What is the president? What is the university stance? How does the staff feel? What is the state? Where do they live? What is the geography? All of those things play into this of how they're approaching this new landscape. And then taking that into those foundational educational sessions of, this is who we are. This is what we believe what college athletics looks like at our university. And this is how we're going to embrace it. But it truly starts with getting everyone first and foremost to see that it does impact them. And how can we all embrace this new landscape rather than shying away from it?
I'm now curious to know, because what you just described is not exclusive to name, image, and likeness. There are often a slew of other, you know, things, whether it's an issue, whether it's a new piece of legislation, whether it's just whatever it is at the collegiate level, those things impact in a very similar way. Like there's a lot of times when it's like, hey, this might also impact you too. So I'm curious to know if at any point, do you think that you'll expand outside of NIL? Or, and maybe that's the secret sauce, but is obviously the focus is there now, but it seems to me like the stuff you're doing is applicable further outside of that.
Yeah, no, it's another great question. So we started in NIL, right? We know that in order to have a successful business, starting with something and being great at it is first and foremost. Have we expanded outside of that already? Absolutely. And that's just the nature of any business and any industry, especially in college sports, to what you alluded to of how it impacts so many different areas. And that's something as simple as, yes, student athlete development programming, right? It was looked at as like, oh, it's NIL and separately student athlete development programming. I truly don't think that that can be the case or should be the case, that they need to be integrated because it's leadership. We're teaching these young people how to be business leaders of the future. In an example like marketing, it's, yeah, we had promotions and then we had NIL. Okay, well, those can't be looked at separately or in a vacuum. They need to be integrated in that same form. And we could go through hundreds of different scenarios of every part of a department that it's started as NIL and the seed was NIL, but what this flower, this garden looks like, for lack of a better metaphor, in even 6 months from now, isn't going to just be NIL.
Yep. That's a perfect metaphor, actually, that it literally started with the seed and now there's a lot of different plants.
Yeah. There might be some weeds in there. Right. I don't really know, but
there's a few weeds, maybe a flowers, couple of, a couple of cacti, but we're hoping to get back to,
I like the flowers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So I'm curious to know, as somebody who works, you know, there, I think there are a ton of us who work either specifically on a campus adjacent to college athletics or just athletics in general, who have a little bit of knowledge about NIL, what it looks like, how it works, those kind of things. For somebody who's working directly in it, I'm curious to know your thoughts on name, image, and likeness, the pros and cons of how it's currently set up. This is a multi-part question, so I'll leave it there to start, and then I'll ask the additional parts.
Wow, put on the hot seat right in front on recording. No, I mean, it's amazing. It's what we think about. However, I couch that by saying what we say to the athletes is, this is the most incredible opportunity, and all of us, especially as former athletes, there's no one more excited for you in this space. However, with opportunity comes responsibility, and that applies to athletes, it applies to staff members, it applies to coaches, and it applies to departments, right? And so it can't be looked at either side of this is gosh awful or this is the best thing in the world that's ever happened. There needs to be a seesaw of this is an incredible opportunity, but also how do we equip and prepare the people that are surrounding the ecosystem of college athletics so that they feel that they can take on that responsibility and maximize the opportunities, no matter what that is, whether they are an athlete or whether they are a coach or a staff member. So I think it's exciting, but I also think, and this is just goes back to my core values of preparing and equipping people is just as important as the exciting part of it.
Right. For, in terms of thinking about the future, we've seen now the NCAA start to come out. We've seen a few state legislative pieces kind of either appealed or worked in different ways, or things are being added to them. What do you think from a future standpoint, as far as regulation, as far as legislation looks, do you have any predictions on the future of NIL at this point, not even a full year in?
Future of NIL. Yeah. The future of NIL and college athletics in general. If I had a crystal ball, right, and we always talk about this, Dave Feldman's one of our advisors. If any of us had a crystal ball, that ball would be worth millions of billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. No, I think the only thing we all do know is that change is going to come, and it's going to come maybe legislation, maybe litigation, maybe through some challenges that athletes or coaches face. And we all have to learn lessons the hard way, unfortunately. But we do know change is going to come. Could it go the employment route? Could it go or employer route? Could it go health insurance, providing benefits? Could it go unionization? And all of those things are all, it's yet to be seen. And I think what will unfortunately lead to that is this cascade of events, right? It's not right now, we haven't seen a determination of this is how we're going to move this thing forward. It's often, it comes after the fact of we're making changes and decisions based on things that have already occurred rather than being proactive.
I think that's part of what makes this space so maybe scary for a lot of people, especially in college athletics, where, you know, some folks who have been in it for a long time are used to the way that things have always been done, and this is how it works, and this is what we do. And so at a time when typically we can be or have been able to be proactive and say, this is coming up, we need to make sure we've got, you know, XYZ finished. Now, just as you said, it's like, well, tomorrow that could be totally different. So we'll just kind of cross that bridge when we get there. As far as, obviously right now it's state legislation. There are, you know, some kind of rules or guidelines or whatever that the NCAA has provided. Do you think that federal legislation would be better for all? Should it stay at the states? Should it go to the NCAA to govern? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, federal legislation at least would provide some uniform across the country, right? There are states, and we work with schools in different states, that there is inequity amongst them due to, and it was unintentional, right? But due to either the state law, the NCAA policy, having no law, having a law that's amended and or repealed, all of that has led to not only confusion, but also confusion and via interpretation of what's actually allowed, what's not allowed, what's too far, who's enforcing it even. And that's all dependent on those states in themselves, as well as maybe they're under the NCAA policy, and all of that is yet to be seen. However, the one thing that is certain is that it's not on an equal ground right now. And so some sort of legislation via probably the federal government that would allow for that would at least, you know, there, if we think about levels of uncertainty in this, if there's 20 right now, that would at least give one or two, right, things of certainty for the people that are involved in college athletics. So yeah, we would love to see some federal legislation across the board to just help provide some sort of certainty in the space moving forward.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think from an education standpoint, is there a, would you say, most important aspect of NIL education? So whether it's financial education, branding, legal, or are they all equally important?
Wow, that's a great question. No, I think, because at first I was like, yeah, signing bad contracts, because I've seen, unfortunately, athletes sign gosh awful contracts. And then you said finances, and I was like, oh gosh, yeah, taxes. And then the brand, and they've aligned with brands that they don't align with. No, I think the most important thing, and this is what we believe at Altius, is knowing what resources they have. Right. So someone who might have a parent or guardian that is a CPA or an accountant might not need financial literacy education. However, someone who has someone in their life that's a marketing or brand manager might not need brand education. And that's why it's so differentiating between institution and even within different teams, because every student is equipped, or every athlete is equipped with different resources surrounding them. And that's what makes it so hard to provide the exact resources they need in such an unknown space. So, but I mean, in general, yes, brand, contracts, finances, those were probably the top three off the top of my head, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. The big three. I think, I mean, those topics have been, they're not anything new from a student athlete development or from a life skills education standpoint, right? Like those are things that have been in that field they've been taught. But now it's just with a maybe more interest on the student athlete side, maybe more, you know, of a recruiting plug from the coaching side, all those things. So
Taylor, I love that you said that. I could not agree more with it. I firmly, and you know, this coming from both of our backgrounds, I don't think they should be separated. And if we're teaching an athlete to look at a contract for an NIL deal, it's the same contract that they look at, or not the same, but similar for a rent or a job, and they're negotiating their job. And so to separate it, I think we're doing a disservice. And if we all learn to collaborate and communicate, obviously easier said than done, but that's what's going to be sustainable long-term for these athletes and departments.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And part of what is so important to me about having everybody in the same boat rowing in the same direction is if you are thinking about your department as a silo, if I'm compliance and all I'm thinking about is the legal aspects of NIL, and if I'm student athlete development and all I'm thinking about is the education on NIL, like we're going to miss. And then all that's doing is adding more events or workshops or whatever for the student athletes to then be concerned about, instead of having all those things, you know, be able to be in one space and be more convenient and efficient and all those things.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. For sure. Okay. I want to shift into kind of the final leg of the show, if you will. So this question is after the namesake of the show. So what is one experience or even a series of experiences that you have had that you feel has helped you bloom into the person you are today?
Oh, wow. Series of experience would be people trusting in me and taking risks on me, to grow and develop into different spaces. And whether that, I mentioned Lisa or Natalie or Patty or Casey here, it's there, and even my college coach, right? So all of those people, I wouldn't be where I'm at today without them believing in me, and not only believing in me, but also empowering me in those spaces to take on and grow in those role and bloom to where I'm at right now.
I don't know that we've had somebody who is specifically focused on, normally we get, you know, oh, back in college, this happened to me. Or I think somebody even mentioned like third or fourth grade, like an experience they had. Wow. Yeah. Which was, I'm like, wow.
Good memory.
Right. Like, thank you for your thoughtfulness in this response. But I don't know that we've had somebody who has focused on it in terms of people and those experiences. So that's really interesting to hear you say that. Okay. Best piece of advice that you've ever received.
Be bright, be bold. And that's very simple. I had a mentor named Carrie Michael. She gave it to me on a bracelet, And she demonstrated to me that it's okay to be in a space where you're bold and you show up at a table and you're not afraid to use your voice, but it's also just as important to be bright and to be kind and to always love first in the different spaces you're in, first and foremost.
Another couple of things that don't need to exist on opposite planes. They can belong together. Yeah.
And so often, especially as women, we are taught like either you're the happy person in the room or you're the boss lady that's leading the room, right? And I think finding that balance of the spectrum of it's okay to be both, and it's okay to work and be friendly, but also not be afraid to be a leader and sit at a table and make decisions and guide direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Okay. This is the final phase. So the quick peel round, as I like to call it. I've got four kind of quick answer questions. And then the last one is a fill in the blank. So first one goes
getting
back
a little
to,
nervous.
No need. The first one is related to your WIU experiences. So your favorite Macomb, Illinois restaurant, your go-to restaurant in Macomb.
Chicks on the Square.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
I was hoping.
Get some tips.
Yep.
No, I was with Tyler Stockton. He works at Ball State. He's a DC there. And we were like, there's no better thing to do. All of the Chicks on the Square.
Yep. Every time I'm home, I got to hit Chicks on the Square. It's the best. One thing that you want your name associated with.
Kindness.
I love it. Show that you've binged lately.
Oh my gosh. I'm the worst show watcher in the world, Taylor.
In terms of you don't watch them or you don't finish them? Oh, or?
Both. Oh, I did watch that one. What's her name? Finding Anna?
Inventing Anna.
Inventing Anna, because my friends told me that I looked like her. So I started watching it. And I think she's fascinating.
She is fascinating.
So that's why I did finish that one.
Yeah. That I watched that one as well. There's like a lot of, from Inventing Anna to the Tinder Swindler, and then you look at Elizabeth Holmes and the Theranos stuff, and I'm like starting to wonder if there's some sort of a connection,
right?
You know, between
people.
All these things. People are fascinating.
But yeah, no, shows are not my shows. Movies, right over my head, Taylor. Fun fact about me.
Fair. Okay. If you could have any job in the world, what would it be? Money aside.
Okay. I was just talking to one of my friends last night and I was like, wonder if I should just like, what if I just moved to a third world country and just helped people? Like that sounds so, but living simply and serving others. And that goes back to my parents. And I could talk about my parents and my siblings for hours on end and how they've helped me become who I am. But they first and foremost taught me to serve people. And so I just like helping people. And that is truly from my parents.
I love it. Okay. Last one. This is the fill in the blank. Blooming is blank.
Finding your gift and bringing it to the world.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Very good. I had, it's been a while, but I guess say blooming is, oh no, cause it was, I had it saying onions are at that time. It was onions or onions are scary.
Onions make you cry. Onions right. are.
Yep. Good yeah, I've heard it all. Yeah, I've heard it all at this point. There were some that, you know, focused on it from a food standpoint, but that particular guest was a baker. And so she was like, onions are scary. Like, I don't want that as a part of what I'm baking.
That's incredible. I like that one. Onions are.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Celine, thank you so much for taking the time out today. It's been awesome to catch up with you and hear all the great things that you're doing at Altius, but also perspectives on NIL. It's been fun.
No, thank you very much for having me. Appreciated being on. This was a ton of fun, and I'm glad that I didn't get the question onions are at the end. So thank you
next
for that
time
as well.
Next time.
Next time.
All right. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks.